Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. People have been trying to make Jesus king for some time now. Some weeks or months before he came into Jerusalem, Jesus was teaching a great crowd on a hillside by a lake. And as it got into evening, they didn't have any food to eat. And so Jesus and his disciples fed them all with just a few loaves and fish. There were 5,000 of them, and they all ate their fill, and there was even bread left over. And right then, the people thought, this is the king we want. This one can feed us. What else might he do? And so they wanted to take him by force and make him their king. But Jesus slipped away from them and went off to pray. Then, just a few days before this coming into Jerusalem, Jesus was called to Bethany by his friends Mary and Martha because their brother Lazarus was ill. And perhaps you remember the story that he gets there too late and Lazarus has died. And Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And the crowds and all the people around are amazed by this sign, by this miracle. Of course they are, but the Pharisees are afraid because this man is getting so much power and because these people are talking about him as the Messiah, the king. And what are the Roman authorities going to do if they think that there's someone brewing insurrection among them? And this guy doesn't really follow the religious rules very well anyway, and so they decide to kill Jesus, because he's just getting too much attention. And they decide to kill Lazarus, because there's Lazarus living evidence of Jesus' power. And so the Pharisees put out the word and make it known that anyone who knows where Jesus is should report it to them so that Jesus can be arrested. So then we come to this day when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. He finds a donkey and rides in the donkey in fulfillment of the prophecy, right? And the people begin waving palms at him. And you have two crowds of people with Jesus. There's all the people who have followed him from Bethany, a couple of miles walk. And these are the ones who was there when he raised Lazarus, and they're coming with him. But word has gone ahead into Jerusalem. And so all these people in Jerusalem, they've heard the stories and signs of this Jesus, and they begin to wave palms and they come out to meet him. And it's just getting to be quite the spectacle. For Jesus to come into Jerusalem in this way is a direct and in-your-face challenge to the religious leaders. They cry, Hosanna, save us. We beseech you, save us. And that cry of Hosanna is one that is used both as a cry for help, but also as a cry of praise to the one who saves.
Amen.
We have both things going on. They want this Jesus to be their king. They want him to be the Messiah who will free them from Roman rule, who will make everything better for them. And they are praising him because they know that he's already done wonders, right? So the people want Jesus. They expect Jesus to be this political Messiah who will set them free. But the Pharisees expect Jesus, the rabbi, to live in accordance with their tradition and not draw too much attention to himself and not shake things up too much, right? That's their expectation. So what about us? What do we expect from Jesus? Bishop Craig Satterley says that when we wave our branches and cry Hosanna, we bring those things that we expect, that we desire from Jesus. To give us health and peace and contentment? Do we expect Jesus to be in line with our own political agenda? Jesus is going to bail him out and keep him going. But Bishop Satterley says, Jesus will have no part of meeting our expectations. Jesus will have no part of being our kind of king, or the kind of king that those crowds in Jerusalem were looking for that day, because Jesus is committed to being God's kind of king. And that's the good news, that Jesus is committed to being God's kind of king. Now that he is in Jerusalem for the last time, Jesus begins to tell his disciples what is going to happen. The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified, meaning for him to be crucified and raised from the dead and ascended into heaven. All of that is glorified in John's gospel. And Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also." Jesus is trying to tell them what it means to be God's kind of king. It means refusing to exercise power over people, but instead being in relationship with them, seeing them, hearing who they are. It means being a loving servant to people in need. It means willingly accepting death, even death on a cross. Now the disciples, John tells us, will only understand all this once it's all over. And who can blame them? Understanding all of this, understanding what it means for Jesus to be God's kind of king, is the work of a lifetime. But we can get a clue from the things that we've been reading, all the stories we've read of Jesus, and especially those readings from Lent of Jesus talking to his disciples at that Last Supper. The first thing Jesus does there is show his love by washing their feet. He tells them that that is an example for them of how they should serve others in his name. Then Jesus invites them to abide in him, and therefore to abide in God who sent him. To abide means to stay, to rest, to remain in Jesus, in loving relationship with God, rejecting all that would separate us from God and from one another. That is what Jesus means when he talks about hating our lives. In John's gospel, hate means rejection, to push away. And the world usually refers to the things in the world that deny Jesus. All of those things, when he talks about the Jews, those are the Jews who deny that Jesus is Lord. And the world is all those things that deny that Jesus is God incarnate, the revelation of God. And so to hate one's life in the world is to reject all that denies Jesus, or that keeps us from abiding in God. It means to keep Jesus as one's first and primary relationship, and therefore to live an eternal and abundant life with God. It means to serve and follow Jesus. I forgot my slide. To serve and follow Jesus wherever that service may lead, not to love our lives, seeking success and gathering possessions and clinging to what is comfortable, but to give our lives and our comfort and our possessions in service to others, to kneel down and wash feet. On Friday, I went along with some other members of our congregation to hear Ruben Garcia speak. Mr. Garcia is the founder and has worked for decades, more than 40 years, at Annunciation House in El Paso. And it is a place that receives, that offers hospitality to refugees and asylum seekers that come across the border there in the El Paso area. And he talked about the expectation that it's been announced in May that the Title 42, which because of COVID has closed the borders to most refugees. Now, there are still some nationalities, Cubans, Venezuelans, people from Ukraine are coming through the border now, but those are fairly small numbers. But beginning in May, they are at May 23rd-ish, they are expecting thousands of refugees to be crossing the borders. And Garcia came to speak to faith communities and ask faith communities to offer hospitality. That as people are coming through Albuquerque, heading to their sponsor somewhere else in the country and just need a few places to stay, a few nights as they go to the airport or the train station, that the churches would provide that hospitality. And I was sitting there thinking, can I imagine us doing this? Oh, this would be so hard. We'd need a lot of people, and it would be tough to stay overnight in the church. And then I had this, just this moment when I thought about Rosemary Guzman, who is the pastor at Cristo Rey, and they are heavily engaged in this ministry. And Guillermo Yela down at Camino de Vida here in the South Valley. And I think, I bet they're not counting their hours every week to make sure that they don't go over their hourly work limit in order to help these refugees, right? And it just really kind of convicted me that we have been talking about how we've been talking about listening to the Spirit and how we might be called forward in this time and place. And I just want to be open to listening if this is that call. Perhaps this is the call we've been waiting for. And perhaps it isn't. We also have other good things in motion and we can't do everything. Got some people talking with Family Promise about providing some ongoing literacy support and tutoring and support to the families there. And, you know, maybe that's where this call from the Spirit is going. I don't know. But I just, it just really struck me that when that call comes, it may well not be very comfortable. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be very easy. And that it is going to be the thing that gives us life as a congregation, to just dive in with both feet, jump in with both feet, and just go for it to provide that love and care and service and wash the feet of some people who are in need in this area. So I'm looking at having some more meetings after Easter to really talk about, you know, where are people hearing that call for us? And we're gonna start that today after the service. But what will it mean for us to really engage in something meaningful and serving other people? Because in God's kind of kingdom, it is self-giving love. It is walking in the footsteps of Jesus, even following Jesus to a cross, that we will know the life that Jesus has promised us. When we love our lives too much, when we cling to what we have and we bring in more and we focus our energy and attention on what I have and what I deserve, then we lose sight of what truly gives life. But when we hate our life, and oh, Jesus, that hate is such a strong word to use, but when we hold loosely to our life and our possessions and our desires and our wants, and focus our energy and attention on loving as Jesus loved, then we know abundant fullness of life. Then we know Jesus as the King of all creation, not necessarily the King we expect, but the King that we need, God's kind of King, the King of love and peace and all that is good. Thanks be to God. Amen.